This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we're joined once again by Guts UK, the UK's digestive health charity. We've previously covered an introduction to the gut microbiome, and we'll now explore some top tips for looking after your gut with information manager Julie Thompson. Thanks for joining us again, Julie. So before we get into top tips, what are some common misconceptions people may have about gut health?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of misconceptions that are going around about the gut microbiome, and it might help people to have a little bit of an understanding around that. So when we're talking about bad and good bacteria, it's a little bit more nuanced than that, and context really is everything. We talked a little bit last time about having a wide variety of microbes within your gut, and that's seen as a healthy thing. And it can suppress what are termed the bad bacteria in our gut if you've got a good variety. But there are negatives associated with that. So, I mean, we do get people who have infections. So gastroenteritis or food poisoning may well be promotion of some of the bacteria that sort of overwhelm the system, if you like, and grow significantly in number. And that's when it causes illness. We do know that a lot of people in the general population may well have small numbers of these bad bacteria in their gut, and they don't have an issue at all. They don't have any illness, and it's not a problem. It's really about that balance. So it's not necessarily to be completely worried about things unless you're having any gut symptoms. So if you feel well, your gut's functioning normally, you're opening your bowels three times a day, three times a week, your poo's nice and smooth like a sausage, and you're not having any pain or anything like that, it's not an issue. It's really important that we understand sort of the research behind this as well. The human gut microbiome was measured really only about just over 10 years ago. Yeah, so that was the first time the scientists mapped fully the gut microbiome. And in the scheme of research, that's really a short amount of time. So you may well see commercial organisations that will advise that you can have a microbiome profile test, which will tell you what microbes are living in your gut. And sometimes they may well associate that with a certain lifestyle, or they may well associate that with symptoms. But really, the science isn't there yet for us to be able to make that comparison. So we wouldn't necessarily advise people use those tests to get a diagnosis or to check what's happening with your health. The science isn't there yet.
And from the science, what are some of the things we know can support a healthy gut microbiome?
So, yeah, there are lots of things we can do to help support our gut microbiome health. It might help to consider our microbes as our gut garden, perhaps, and we can talk through those different benefits that we can provide to help promote its growth and diversity. And in actual fact, to be really, really sort of boring, these are what you would normally class as a healthy lifestyle and factors that support a healthy lifestyle. So the first thing really to consider is you need to feed it well. So we spoke about prebiotics being the most important substrate to help promote a wide variety and balance. So your gut garden feed should include at least 5 a day fruits and vegetables of different sorts. And we like to think about sort of eating a variety of those. And in actual fact, fresh, frozen, tinned in natural juice, it absolutely doesn't matter. If somebody's got limitations on the budget, for example, maybe you could buy mixed frozen vegetables. They would be perfect. We also know that whole grain starchy carbohydrates, such as wholemeal bread, wholemeal pasta, oats and other cereals are great and should be part of our healthy diet. Now, particularly good sources of prebiotics are garlic, onions, leeks, asparagus, bananas, oats, and the highest level of any food is found in Jerusalem artichokes. Variety is the best option. We talk about sometimes fermented foods. Sometimes these foods can contain probiotics, which are live organisms. Sometimes they don't. Examples of these include yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi, miso, tempeh, and kombucha. The evidence is limited to the benefits in healthy individuals, but these products all help to promote dietary variety. One thing I would recommend people do, though, in this situation is really check to make sure they're healthy in other respects. So, for example, kimchi can be made using salt, which isn't particularly good for health. So ideally, if you can check salt content, check the levels of fat in these products and check the levels of sugar and make sure they're healthy in other respects. And another important factor really is include plenty of fluids in your diet too. So for healthy individuals, 6 to 8 glasses of non-fizzy drinks would be suitable. So secondly is limit processed foods. So examples of foods that we should be limiting in our diet are things like processed meats, sausages, burgers, ham, salami, white bread, very highly processed cheeses. And when we're talking about our gut garden, this is akin to reducing the number of plant varieties in your garden and starving the plants of growth, because there's nothing there necessarily to feed those microbes. And in actual fact, some of these foods have other negative aspects to them. It's not that we need to be really strict in limiting everything. You can have these foods occasionally, just not in a regular basis. Exercise regularly, so physical activity is associated with more diverse and balanced gut microbiome. And activity helps gut function by avoiding constipation, for example. And if we're looking at sort of the analogy we're using of our gut garden, perhaps think of this as the activity keeping your garden maintained. And another aspect is getting enough sleep. Now, we know that even garden plants typically slow their metabolism, close the leaves of flowers, and conserve energy. So when if you're looking after your gut garden, that benefits from 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep per night. And the reason for that is that the circadian rhythms, which is your body's natural 24-hour clock, govern the sleep-wake cycle. And these rhythms also influence the balance of the gut microbiome. Last but not least is avoid overuse of antibiotics. Now, I'm not here to make people frightened of using antibiotics. Antibiotics have saved lots of lives in the past. They are really useful products to have, but we would always recommend taking them only when necessary and prescribed by your GP. Consider them like, I suppose, generic weed killer, because they can kill both harmful and beneficial bacteria. The best way of approaching this is if your GP's prescribed them, you do need to take them. Most people's microbiome will recover over time after a use of an antibiotic. However, if you prescribed them, they needed and always complete the course. And this is the best way for all of us in the world to avoid future antibiotic resistance.
And if people are thinking it would be unmanageable for me to change all of these things, why is it still worth it to try and make one small change, and what kind of impact can that have?
In respect to behaviour change, Amelia, it's really complicated. It's really difficult. We know that. And I think the best approach to that is to do it in a stepwise fashion. And it's worthwhile having a real think about those goals before you decide to try them. So looking at goals, it should be something that's fairly easy to do to start with. You need to measure them, you know, so what benefit is this giving you? And also, it needs to be something achievable for you. And having a look at that and really thinking about it first is a really good option. Start the easy changes first, measure them. I mean, only pick one or two things to start with as well. And everything that you do will have some benefit to it. So once you've got a change and you're doing that on a regular basis, go back to your goal sheet, have a look and make another decision about the next step to take.
And you have so much information and some recipe ideas that could be a good first step for people to try, and many, many resources on your website. Where can people go to access all of the things that you offer?
So on the website, if they look under information, and health and lifestyle, there's diet under there. There is other things that affect lifestyle. Also, we have symptom and condition pages if somebody's interested in a certain condition. We've currently got a campaign called Let's Talk Guts, and that's really encouraging everybody to talk about health and lifestyle and the gut, and also about conditions as well. So more information about that can be found on the website.
Well, thank you so much, Julie Thompson from Guts UK, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio to discuss the Let's Talk Guts campaign.